Have you ever heard the phrase, the only good snake's a dead snake? Well, in today's episode, we're going to talk all about why that's simply not true. You'll learn about three different snake species common in residential areas.
Welcome to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. I'm Lara Milligan.
And I'm Shannon Carnevale.
This podcast is brought to you by UF IFAS Extension in Polk and Pinellas counties. Shannon, do you always get texts from family and friends for snake ID, or am I the only one?
Oh, no. I get them all the time, and I get emails from clientele all the time.
Yeah.
If I can make any requests, though, to anyone listening, you know, you can send us pictures, but let's get pictures of happy snakes that are still alive. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yes. Helpful in identification for our purposes.
Yes.
So there are tons of species of snakes in Florida, and there's no way we can cover them all. So we're kind of going to focus today's episode on some common ones that we might see. Right, Shannon?
Yeah. I thought we would focus on the ones that we get the most questions about. And also, there's one or two species in there that I didn't think were very common, but I guess statewide, they are a snake species that people ask a lot of questions about.
Okay, so let's just briefly, we will tell you, you know, generally how many snake species are in Florida, and then we'll kind of narrow it down.
Right. So we've got about 50 species of snakes in Florida. And to anyone that's tried to look into this before, it's a lot of fun trying to get an exact number because a lot of different agencies have different numbers. But we're going to go with around 50 for this.
That sounds good.
The most important part, though, is I don't know about you, Lara, but I get a ton of questions. And when I get those questions with snake ID, they only want to know one thing. Is this venomous?
Yes.
Yeah. And so of those approximately 50 species of native snakes in Florida, only 6 of them are venomous and only 4 of them are found statewide.
Yeah. If you're in the panhandle, I'm sorry.
Right. So we'll go ahead and talk about those real quick. So the 4 venomous snake species found statewide are the pygmy rattlesnake, the coral snake, the diamondback rattlesnake, and the water moccasin, which is also known as the cottonmouth. Those are the same snakes. Water moccasin, cottonmouth, same species. Then we also have 2 species that are found in much smaller areas. The timber rattler is only found north Florida in the Suwannee River Basin and very northeast panhandle. So if you're looking at a map, you might be thinking about Putnam County over through Gilchrist and Alachua and then northeast to Clay County, all of those counties. And then northward, you might have the habitat for a timber rattler. And then there's the copperhead, which I don't know about you, but people think they're statewide and thankfully they are not. So they are only found in a tiny bit of the panhandle over by Jackson, Calhoun and Liberty County.
Yeah, I have never seen a copperhead or a timber rattler, but generally speaking, venomous or not venomous, snakes provide a great ecological role for us and for the overall ecosystem. They're not only a predator for things that most people don't like rodents. So you can think of them as natural rodent pest control. And they're also an incredibly important food source for a lot of our native species as well. Think like birds of prey.
Yeah. And if you think back to our birds of prey episode and the rodenticide episode, one of the recommendations we made there was to make sure you have good habitat for rat predators. Snakes are definitely included in that. I mean, can you imagine the populations of rats that we would have and mice that we would have if we didn't have all these sneaky little snakes around?
No, I really don't.
I don't want to.
Yeah. So for Shannon and I, we get very excited and know that snakes are good. I know that's not what most people think about when they hear the term snake. And a lot of people probably also think about snake bites and the threats that they pose to us and or our children or grandchildren.
Thankfully, because of our modern medicine, and even if you're in a remote area, you're probably within an hour or two of a hospital. And getting to the hospital that quickly is going to prevent a lot of the long-term damage that you might see from a snake bite.
I want to kind of transition that to a very aggressive non-venomous snake that we have that is very common, and that's the Eastern Black Racer.
Yes, and I don't know if aggressive is the right term for him. I call them sassy for sure.
Okay, Well, there we go. I like that too.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, they really live up to their term black racer. They want to leave, but if they feel cornered or if they're yes. feeling particularly sassy that day, they will stand their ground. Even if it's a lawnmower, they will stand there yeah. and be like, hey, this is my corner of the yard. Back off. So that doesn't surprise me that you've encountered a, you know, semi-aggressive.
I stand corrected because anytime I have encountered what I would say is aggressive, I have been trying to nicely remove them from one spot to a more like inside to a desired location outside.
Yes. So the truth comes out. You were trying to handle the snake and it reacted as snakes do.
And yes, for his good, all for his good right. or her good.
Right. Well, let's start by identifying the black racer. I would think that this is a snake that most Floridians are fairly comfortable with as far as identification is concerned. But if it's new to you, this is the most common solid black snake that you see in a residential area. They are a solid semi-gloss black color to them. They can have and usually do have a white chin and a white throat. But they're typically in the 3 to 4 foot range, but I think they can max out at almost 5. Is that what you found, Lara?
Yeah. And I've seen some pretty long ones.
Mm-hmm. And because they are that really slender, muscular type of snake, mm-hmm. they look as long as they are. You know, yes. some of our other snakes look shorter than they are. I feel like black racers, they've earned that length to them. But something that's important to know about black racers is they look a lot different when they're young. So hatchlings and juvenile black racers are actually patterned. They are equally, you know, they're also long and slender for their size. And they've got really big eyes relative to the size of the snake.
So
but they've
cute.
Got a reddish brown patch down their back. They're on a gray blue background. They kind of look like one of our venomous snakes.
Yeah, they do kind of look like a pygmy rattlesnake. But pygmy rattlesnakes in general tend to be more thick bodied compared to the black racer. But yeah, it is really cool. I always show them a picture of a juvenile black racer and they're like, no way, like, because they look so different compared to the mature adult.
They really do. But I would say with even just a little bit of practice, they're really easy to differentiate from the pygmy rattler. So don't panic if you see them. They have those big round eyes and they're pretty adorable in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. The big eyes, anything with big eyes is just cute.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're talking about snakes, but y'all. Keep
hey, they look pretty friendly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
All right. So why do we care about black racers in our neighborhoods? Well, they eat a lot of things that people don't want in their yards. So like we were talking about generally with snakes, they eat a lot of rodents and bonus, they eat other small snakes. So this is a great one to have around if you're not very comfortable with snakes. They're also known to eat frogs, lizards, and birds.
Yeah. And they're found all throughout Florida, even the Florida Keys. And typically, when I see them, they are just out sunning themselves, right? They're thermoregulating, mm-hmm. basking out, getting some sun. But if they feel threatened or they hear any noise, their name is a dead giveaway because they are super agile, super fast, and they will kind of race off into the bushes.
They're so fast.
So fast.
Now, if you find yourself in a situation like Lara did, where you might have accidentally cornered a black racer, it's important to know that they will occasionally vibrate the end of their tail in the grass or leaves or mulch or whatever they're in to try to mimic the sound of a rattlesnake. And if grabbed, they will definitely bite as a last resort. So it's still important to see the doctor. You just maybe don't need to go to the emergency room because you know that a black racer is not venomous. But you do want to see a doctor for bacterial infection and things like that.
Yes. And now I want to talk about another snake species that might be a little bit different tempered than the black racer. And that's the southern ringneck snake, which, again, in my opinion, is like the world's cutest snake. We're going to get you guys to like snakes, I promise. So, yeah, this is another black snake that's commonly seen in residential areas, but much smaller than the black racer.
Very, very small compared to the black racer. So when you find a southern ringneck snake, they're usually less than 12 inches long. They're a solid black color, except for that orangey band, or I like to call it a necklace, right around their neck area. And they've got a bright yellow orangey belly. And with these snakes, if you spook one by accident or corner it, they're not really going to bite you, even if you pick them up. Like, they're cool with it. They might flip over and show their yellow belly in an attempt to scare you. And they do have a really foul smell that they can release, which is not super fun. But they're not a very dangerous snake. And they're very little. They're also known as a flower pot snake because they tend to be in the dish around a potted plant. They're primarily nocturnal, and they eat a lot of garden pests like slugs, worms, other snakes, and little lizards and things.
Yeah, and these are another species that are found all throughout the state, every single county, including the Keys. One thing to keep in mind with this species is if you have a pool, they can commonly be found trapped in pool skimmers. They'll be chasing their prey, things like small lizards, and not realize there's a pool there and fall in. So if you do encounter these in your pool, you can get a simple pool skimmer, scoop them up, and dump them outside.
Yeah, I feel like when you run into a ringneck snake, it's just as unhappy about the situation as you likely are as the person who ran into them. So they just want to go about their own life. Now, we're going to talk about another species, the red rat snake or the corn snake or the red corn snake or about 15 other common names that you could give this snake. But this is the snake I feel like if we are giving out superlatives would win, you know, most likely to be class clown or get up to some hijinks. If there's like a silly situation going on involving a snake, my money is on red rat snake. I feel like they're always the one getting into weird predicaments.
Yeah, I'd say that's also the one that I probably get texted pictures of the most. And yeah, usually climbing up on some surfaces or way up like on the top of a fence or something, they're very, very good climbers, which I know might not be appealing to a lot of you, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really good at it though.
Yes. And like Shannon mentioned, with this snake having different common names, they can also have lots of color variation too, just, you know, to make things really easy for you guys.
Right. So they are usually a clayey red, reddish brown color, but they can also be yellow, tan, brown, or even gray. They have irregular blotches on the back of their body that are usually reddish, like I said, and they tend to have a dark outline to them. The easiest way to identify a red rat snake or corn snake, in my opinion, is to look for the arrowhead-shaped pattern on its head. And if you happen to see it from underneath or if you see its belly, it has a very distinct checkerboard pattern with a black and cream color.
Yeah, and these are going to be a larger snake compared to the ringneck snake that we talked about before. So anywhere from 1.5 feet up to max that's been documented, 6 feet. But I'd say in between is typically where I see them, 3 to 4 feet. And they have a wide diet, including insects, frogs, toads, lizards, birds and their eggs, rats and mice. This is another species that is also found all throughout Florida, every county, including the Keys. They are, though, primarily nocturnal. So while you might not often see them during the day, you might at night, which, you know, probably adds to the creep factor with snakes, but it's fine, I promise.
And they're extremely good climbers, as we mentioned before. They are commonly found under rocks and logs, but you are just as likely to find them on a tree or in a palm frond or something to that nature. So these are snakes like the black racer that primarily will flee. They will leave. They will go as quickly as possible away to find shelter. If they don't think there's shelter nearby, they will freeze and just hope you can't see them. They're kind of silly in that way.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah, it's like, you're right there, man. Anyway, if they are cornered because you're trying to get them out of a garage or something, both the juveniles and an adult will get into that defensive posture you might be familiar with. And they may strike out at you to attack the attacker. They're also going to do that vibrating tail tip thing that sounds like a rattlesnake. Don't worry about them. They can be a little sassy. So give them an escape route. Let them get on with their day and everyone can just go away happier because nobody wants to be in that situation. Nonetheless, though, these snakes are not aggressive unless they feel like they are in a very defensive situation.
That was the perfect setup for our call to action, Shannon. Yes. Intentional or not, yes. So our call to action with snakes is let them be. Just let snakes live. They provide a ton of ecosystem services, the fancy term for all the benefits that I mentioned before, pest control, and a critical source of food for many of our other native species. So just please, 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 please let them be. You avoid snake bites. And if you need ID, we're happy to do that. But otherwise, leave them alone.
Yeah. And if you're listening and you're not fully on board with this, you're like, I don't know. This, you know, snakes do a lot of good things for us, but that doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. Totally understand. And that's fine. We can do a lot of things to prevent encounters rather than trying to deal with it after you've already run into a snake. And now you're trying to figure out, do you try to trap it or not? Spoiler alert, we suggest you don't. But you can do things like filling any cracks and crevices in between your patio, your windows, your doors with some steel wool. You can put hardware cloth and screening over drainage pipes that lead to your patio or lanai. Or you can check our show notes where we're going to link a bunch of documents on things you can do to prevent encounters with snakes in residential areas and schoolyards and when you're out enjoying nature.
Yeah. And if you guys, again, are ever unsure and you are curious about snake ID, please snap a picture from a safe distance, send it over to me or to Shannon, and we are happy to help you with ID. And again, we will also link some great resources for snake ID as well in our show notes. So I think that's a great way to wrap it up, and we will catch y'all on our next episode.
Thanks for listening to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. Stay updated on new episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider sharing it with a friend. Naturally Florida is produced by your hosts, Shannon Carnevale
and Lara Milligan.
If you have questions or suggestions, submit them online at naturallyfloridapodcast.com. This podcast is brought to you by the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences Extension, an equal opportunity institution. Thank you for listening.